Can you remember back when you were like 14 or 15 years old and you just knew that when you turned 16 that life would be better because you could legally drive? You remember those days of wishing? Perhaps when you were like 17 and your 18th birthday just seemed like eons away. You thought you would never be legal. As 18, you're an adult. You see, one of the characteristics of youth is wishing for the important milestones that seem so very far away in a distant future. We end up wishing away some of the most wonderful times of our lives. The times when life is simple and we have few responsibilities or pressures on us. How many times have, as a kid or anything, when you would say, I wish this and I wish I could go, or I wish I had a car, or I wish, and Mom and Daddy or Grandma and Granddaddy would say, you need to quit wishing your life away. It'll get here soon enough. We all have wished for things, waiting for the future. The immaturity that comes with youth means that we miss the significance of contentment. We are constantly looking for better things in our future. We have a hard time being content when we're young because there's just so much of life to live. There's so much yet to do. Although they are adults in our story today, we find James and John acting immaturely as they approach Jesus with a childish request. Perhaps as a child you can remember saying something to an adult like, I'm going to ask you something, and no matter what it is, I want you to say yes, okay? Have you ever been there? Now listen to me. And then, of course, always liked it at my house whenever you'd ask one parent, they'd say, go ask your mama. You'd ask him, go ask your daddy. And so we're like, well, he told me to come ask you, or she told me to come ask you. So, of course, we knew that we never would get anything until they actually came together and discussed this thing. You could ask till the cows come home. Ain't going to happen. So, you know, that's the way parents and children do. We always want, but we want them to say yes. Then, of course, you will know that some outrageous question was on the way, which answer would undoubtedly, 9 times out of 10, no, you can't go. No, you can't do that. No, you've got to go to school tomorrow. We can't go nowhere on a school night. No, you've got to work in the morning. I mean, it was always, it's like, geez, is this the only word these people know? But nevertheless, James and John asked Jesus for places of honor at his right and left sides, his hands on each side of him. They are seeking recognition for their dedication and their service to Jesus and His ministry. They even go so far as to say that they want to be in Jesus' glory. Now, Jesus knows that their request is outrageous. He knows that it's not going to be answered. He knows that they don't even know what they're asking. And He says to them in verse 38, you do not know what you are asking. You don't really realize it, guys. And He asks them if they can handle such a great responsibility by drinking from the same cup and experiencing the same baptism. Then, of course, they think that they are up to the challenge and they claim that they are able to do as Jesus does. But like children with imaginative requests, James and John truly believe they are ready for all that comes with the right and the left places next to Jesus. They think that they have been good and faithful followers of the Messiah. So they have earned this honor. Do y'all ever think that you've earned something because you've been somewhere a long time? Sometimes we do at work and things. You earn certain levels and you move your way up the ladder or to help other people. But sometimes it doesn't always work that way. You see, the irony today in this passage is that James and John have no idea of how the places of honor at Jesus' left and right hand are decided. And Jesus says it is not even His decision. He said, it's not even my decision to make. They are places that have already been prepared. They're places that's already prepared for us to go. For me to go, He says. He then tells them to the kind of person who will have these places in glory. And he tells them that in 43b. He says, whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. In other words, you've got to serve others. You've got to be their servant. You've got to help them out. You've got to be at their beck and call. You have to do their wishes. This is not the attitudes that James and John have had. They think that if they get to sit up there at the head table in front of God and everybody, they're something else. If they think they get to sit beside Jesus, that's what they're looking for. That's not their attitude, though. They've not had that kind of attitude where it's a humbling thing. They believe that because they have been faithful followers, they deserve a place of honor. You know, sometimes you and I do that too. We've been there and done that long enough that we feel like we have a place of honor. Actually, though, their behavior is the exact opposite of those whom Jesus considers to be great. You see, the behavior of these disciples today is not an example of a mature faith. They claim to be able to do the things Jesus does, but they miss the point. Oh, they miss the point at the center of Jesus' ministry. They have missed the boat. They have, as someone used to say, they can't see the forest for the trees. In other words, they've just missed it altogether. Servanthood is one of the key passages that Jesus has tried to instill in His disciples. He's tried to instill that in you and I. He continues till this day through His Word. And you see, James and John have just missed it completely. But before they are even in the running for the place of glory and honor next to Jesus, they must realize that service, rather than recognition, should be their goal. Serving others, doing what is right, doing what is good, helping someone along the way. That realize that service, rather than recognition, is the goal that they're out to get. In searching for a place of honor in times to come, James and John missed the beauty of Jesus' presence with them in the present moment. Have you ever been somewhere and been someplace and you're in such a hurry to do something else or leave or get somewhere else that you miss being in the presence of someone great? That you miss just being in the presence with your family and listening? That you just miss being in the presence of God and everyone else around you? You know, so many times we don't take the time to sit down and listen. To sit down and let it be that person. You know, because sometimes maybe you're the only one they've seen that's been positive in their life that day. Maybe you're someone that they've just waited to see. Maybe it's someone you need to take the time to go check on. Because we miss it ourselves. We miss being busy. We get busy doing what? Stuff. We get busy doing all kinds of stuff and we miss. We miss out on doing something good. We miss out. You see, James and John are looking for something. They miss the beauty of being in the presence of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, their immature faith blinds them to the significance of the time that is at hand. Instead, they are wishing away their time with Jesus. Let us this day not fall into that same trap that these disciples did by looking too intently on the things in the future, lest we miss the wonderful things that lie before us today. Let us look to service and serving those around us before looking for recognition. What are we out for today? Are we out for the recognition of service, or are we just out to serve? Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word this day, for Your Son, our Savior, for the blessings, Lord, of life, for the gift that comes by You and through You, for loving and sharing and giving. We ask, Lord, this day that You continue to be with us, that You just continue to open up our hearts and our minds. to serve you, Lord, in all that we do. For it is in your Son's great and holy name I do pray. Amen.